Thank you, God, for teaching us this morning. Make your word alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Previously, we studied about that glorious experience of Jesus being transfigured on that mount, where Peter, James, and John were blessed to see Jesus in his glory. Can you imagine if God gave you an experience like that? And you saw the Lord in his glory or a piece of heaven? Wow, we'd never be the same. You know, we read that in chapter 9, verse 2 to 4. His clothes became like shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launder on earth can whiten them. Just glorious. Then we read of a father's son delivered from an evil spirit. An evil spirit cast out. So the disciples were experiencing great moments with Jesus. It was all good. They saw his glory and his power. They were excited. You know, they believed that the Messiah Jesus would come and set up his kingdom. But we know that's still future. He first came to pay for sin. They thought, because they were called and following him and experiencing all this, they would rule with him in this kingdom that he was going to set up. Hey, we're going to be leaders. We're going to be great. Because he's teaching us. We're seeing all these things. They were tired of Roman oppression. You know, they were tired of being subjects of some other ruler. They were ready to go on to greatness and rule. And their leader was Jesus. And he was working mightily. He was a winner in their eyes. And today our message is called, you know, it's called greatness, and it's about greatness. Now, the worldly view of greatness is being great, achieving great things. It means much above the average. You're someone. You're great. You know, most people want to be great. The disciples were ready to make it in this world to be great. And Jesus was their leader. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke 19:10, Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. Mark 10:45. Let's turn to Mark 10:45. Just go ahead a page or two. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve, this great man. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came the first time as the suffering servant for us to pay atonement for our sin. He came for us. He laid down his life for us so we could live eternally. He's coming again to rule and reign with his servants in the millennium. That's still future. But the disciples, having just experienced these great things that we read about, miracles and this transfiguration, they were ready to do great things with Jesus. So we pick it up here in verse 30. They departed from there, passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. He's passing through Galilee, and he's actually now on his way to Jerusalem. This journey to Jerusalem, where he's going to fulfill his purpose in coming. And he's trying to avoid publicity. He doesn't want to be raised up as king. He wants to get there and do what he was called to do. And for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Do you think they were shocked after all these glorious things happening? He says, guess what? I'm going to be betrayed, handed over. They're going to kill me. And after I'm killed, I will rise the third day. Now, they always thought of the Jews, of a general resurrection on the last day. Everybody is going to resurrect. One person rising didn't compute. He's going to be killed and die. You know, he's going to die and then be raised on the third day. That doesn't seem in line with greatness. Things have been going great. He's been victorious. This doesn't seem great. You're going to be betrayed and killed? You're going to let people kill you? That's not in line with greatness. So they couldn't understand what was happening here. And we see that in verse 32. They did not understand his saying, but they were afraid to ask him. They didn't understand it. They're thinking and looking forward to greatness in this life. Greatness with Jesus, their leader, and he's speaking about trouble, about pain, about death. Maybe before, after you became a Christian, you found things a little troubling in your life. And you might have said at times, I was better off before I was a Christian. I didn't go through this then. But you weren't going to heaven. We're tested, we're tried. The world doesn't like us. We will be persecuted. Sometimes you do go through hard times, many times, and maybe worse than you had it before. And they're thinking, God, that doesn't sound good. I wonder if the Lord laid out a person's life and showed them what they're going to go through and said, now make a correct decision. Do you want me in your life or not? That would probably be the way to really make a true decision for Christ. Yeah, I'm willing to give it all up for you, whatever I have to do, Lord. They didn't understand this, pain and death, but they were afraid to ask him about this. Have you ever been in a position where you didn't understand something, but you were afraid to ask because you don't want to look ignorant? Maybe you're in a study or some class or something, or talk with people, and everybody seems to understand what's going on and agree, and you're sitting there, are these people crazy? I don't understand any of this stuff. And then they ask, any questions? And no one raises their hand. If we were all honest, probably everyone would be raising their hand. They were afraid to ask. See, they're flesh and bone, just like us. No different. Human nature. Then he came to Capernaum. And this is a house where they would stay. Jesus stayed there. And this is a teaching moment for Jesus. When he was in the house, now he has them alone with him in the house, and he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? What were you arguing about? What were you discussing about? Apparently there was some quarreling going on. See, Jesus knows our thoughts and our words. Does that scare you, or are you okay with it? He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're saying in the secret place. He knows where we're at. Can't hide anything from the Lord. He says, what is it? He's trying to draw it out of them that you were disputing, you're arguing about among yourselves on the road. But they kept silent. They weren't going to open up. They weren't going to be honest. For on the road, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. They got the greatest right in front of them, Jesus. They're on the road. All that they've seen, all that they've done. And they're arguing about among themselves who's going to be the greatest. Well, I've done this for the Lord, and I was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, so I know one of us three is going to be the greatest. And they're disputing who's going to be the greatest. Certainly, I'm going to have the best position because I've been walking with him, believing in him, have faith in him. Some of these other guys didn't. They were silent because Jesus said, what were you talking about? They kept silent because they're not going to tell him, well, Jesus, we were talking about who's going to be the greatest. That wouldn't look good. They would look kind of foolish. They were afraid to answer. They thought they were being groomed for greatness. It's like someone takes you under their wing to train you and to teach you. And you know they're training you for greatness. But they're not training you to die, to suffer, to be persecuted, to be rejected. You think they're training you to be great, to be somebody. They're being groomed for greatness here, they thought. But if Jesus is killed, who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the greatest? You know, what are we going to do? There was infighting among his disciples. They're disputing on the road. How sad. What was the reason? What was the reason, 34? Because they were disputing who would be the greatest. Seeking greatness is associated with pride, glory. The root of that springing up in us is pride. We want to be the greatest, the best, the first. We all like to have attention paid to us. We all like to be noticed. We all like to be somebody. You know, and sometimes you may think, well, I don't have any pride. But then as soon as someone comes along and says, gee, you look awful today. Are you sick? All of a sudden, like, I spent so much time in the mirror this morning. And they think I'm sick? No, we don't have any pride. You know, it's there. It stirs up the flesh. It rules the flesh. See, the Bible says you can walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. Let that pride out, self-seeking. But look at in verse 34, not only who would be great, but who would be the greatest. They want to be the best, the greatest, the top dog. Not only great, but the greatest. That Greek word means larger. It means exceedingly great. You know what the Greek, it's a form of a Greek word, megas. Sound familiar? Mega. Get the idea? We have mega this and mega that today. Mega burgers, mega soft drinks, mega sandwiches, TV screens, the mega lottery, the biggest, the greatest. That's the Greek word. The best, the greatest, mega. These disciples still don't get it. And many people in the world, and even some Christians, don't get it, what the Christian life is, what greatness is in the kingdom of God. Some people spend their whole life trying to be great, trying to be somebody. You know, we read in the previous chapter, Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it, let it go for my sake, you're going to find it. And yet people are just pushing to be the greatest. There can be pastors seeking to be the greatest pastor, the greatest evangelist, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher, the greatest whatever. And it can happen in ministry. It can happen out there in the world, on your job, in your home, whatever. People seek to be the greatest. We all have the flesh we carry around with us. None of us can think, well, that's not me. Just get into a position where you want something strong enough and it rises up. If you let the flesh take over, that pride comes up and I want to be the greatest. You know, you can be great at something, but I find you always find somebody greater. You know, when I used to play sports, people say, well, are you good? And how do you answer? I never could answer that. Because you know there was always somebody better. How do you measure good? So I guess I was lousy. There's only one thing that stopped me from playing pro ball. Only one thing from playing pro ball. You know what it was? Talent. That was it. See, so you hear a lot of talk today about being great and achieving greatness in the world. But you don't hear much talk about being great in the kingdom of God, do you? See, being great in the kingdom of God is available to anybody. Isn't that awesome? No special talent or gift. You don't have to come short. You can be great in the kingdom of God. You can be somebody. That's awesome. We must ask, do I want to be great, the greatest? And in whose eyes? Many people want to be great in the world. They want acknowledgement from the world. They need it. Pride is that motivation. You know, I want to be looked up to. I want to be somebody. I want to be honored, glorified. Do you know that was Satan's downfall? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. That was Satan's downfall. He was in the heavens. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he thought. That's what he wanted. What does the Lord say? Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's what was his downfall. Wanting to be God, like God. Did you know, Christian, that you could walk through this life under the radar, not being noticed, seemingly unnoticed, not achieving great things in this world or in the eyes of man, and still be great? You can be an ordinary or feel less than an ordinary person and still be great. Isn't that wonderful? It depends in whose eyes you want to look great. There's so much depression, suicide, trouble in this world due to people feeling lonely and worth nothing. It exists. Why? Because they think they have to compare or make it in the world. Compare to or make it in the world. Be somebody. You don't have to. You already, as a Christian, are somebody. Somebody loves you. Jesus, God the Father in heaven. You're somebody. You're special. You're his special people. God's special people. But we get our mind off of that, don't we? Because we get out in the world, oh, I've got to compare to the world. That's greatness in the world. You're already great. I'm already great. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're rich, too. We're great and we're rich. What more do you want? It's just our mind that, and Satan that play these games. It gets our focus on this world, this temporary world. We're here but for a moment, the Bible says. We're like a vapor. We know June gloom, don't we? Now we have May gray. Pretty soon it's going to be April something else. It's just going on and on and on. Every year it seems to get worse. But you get the fog in the morning. And then the sun comes out in the afternoon and it hits 80 degrees. And you don't even remember the clouds and the fog. It says that's what your life is like. Like a mist. It's there and then it's gone. We need to remember that. We want to be great in eternity. And that's with the Lord. And everyone can be great. An ordinary person with an ordinary job or an ordinary position. You can be great in God's kingdom. And one day you're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that awesome? What could be better than that? What could be greater than that? Don't ever fall prey to midlife crisis, old life crisis, young depression, all kinds of things today. Don't feel that you're an underachiever while here on this earth. In Christ, you're not. You've achieved the best thing that can happen to you in life, and that's receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're entering heaven. You have a reservation in heaven. A lot of people try to get into restaurants. They have reservations 2-3 weeks in advance. You can't get in. And you can't get in to see Star Wars for a long time. You have to have a reservation. It's easier to get into heaven. You're going to settle for Star Wars? And it's not real. Just, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's not real. Heaven is real. Reservation, the instant you give your life to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And no one can snatch you out of his hand. No matter what people say about you here or how they treat you, you're something. But you need to keep your focus on, who do you want to be something for? The world or God? The world may hate you when you're something for Jesus. But that's okay. I can guarantee you this. Everyone that doesn't like you is one day going to die and not be with you in heaven. And you're going to be the victor. We sing that song. Yeah, though none may follow. And no, though none be with you, still I will follow. There might be no one with you, but you're still great in God's eyes. People may not like you. Don't ever fall prey to feeling that I need to be something in the world. Don't set your heart on worldly greatness and feel depressed because you didn't attain in life what you thought you would. So many people feel, life has passed me by. Look at the way I've ended up. I don't know that I've achieved anything worthwhile. You know the Lord. Serve the Lord. You have rewards in heaven. Your Father in heaven is just waiting for you. You're great. Don't let the world get you down. Keep your focus on the Lord. You're well pleasing to Him as you follow Jesus. Just do your part in God's kingdom. Be great for Jesus. There's God's kingdom and there's the world's kingdom. You and I may never be noticed by the world. We may walk right under the radar, right through this whole life. The world may think of us as nobodies. But being a servant of the Lord is a somebody in God's eyes. Jesus was tempted to be great in this world. Remember the temptation in the wilderness? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. There is a temptation out there. You watch the commercials today. It's like you got to be somebody and look like this or do this to be great. Trying to play on the flesh, make you feel like you're missing out on life. Think I'll leave my wife because God wants me to be happy and there's a prettier girl out there. I want to live. That's straight from hell. Straight from hell. And people fall prey. Satan says, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Matthew 4, verse 1. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was tempted, and we're tempted. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. We get hungry in life. You know, we lack. Sometimes we get afflicted. We go without it. Life gets difficult. And you get vulnerable and hungry at certain areas of your life. That's where Satan attacks. Get your eye. Hey, you deserve a break today. Go to McDonald's, you know. You deserve a break today. Now, when the tempter came to me, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Hey, change these stones into bread. You're hungry. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just use scripture. No, I don't need that. I just need God and his word. So the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. Do something spectacular. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Do something spectacular and people think you're great. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't test God. And again, the devil took him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. Here it is. All the kingdoms and all the glory. I give it all to you. You'll be glorified. You'll be the person they look up to. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. That's what the devil said. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And guess what? The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. That's how we defeat these attacks of the enemy and temptation. Quote scripture. Get our eyes back on the Lord, back on the real thing. If you gain the whole world, what good is it? What if everybody looks up to you? What good is that in heaven? People are name droppers. Oh, I know this person and that person. I want to be great, so I'm a name dropper. So what? What's in a name? Who's important in this life? Jesus and his followers. We can walk through this life just walking peacefully, doing our thing for the Lord. Don't fall prey to these other things. Just resist temptation. They were arguing over who would be the greatest. Probably presenting their case. Well, I did this and I did that. At one time, we even see the mother of James and John intercede for her sons to be great. Moms are like that. They like them to do something and be great. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, that was James and John, came to him, Jesus, with her sons, kneeling down before Jesus and asking something from him. Well, what do you want, Mom? What do you want? What do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Hey, all I want is one to be vice president and the other to be secretary of state or something. That's all. You know, I just want these two guys to have a prominent position in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized in the baptism that I am about to be baptized with? They said to him, we are able. In other words, he was saying, hey, I'm going to be taken to the cross. You think they're able to do that? You want to be identified with me? You want your sons to be identified with me? Then be ready, because I'm going to the cross. Maybe mom said, well, forget about it. You know, we want to be great. And mom, you know, parents, you want your kids to be great. But that means we should train them up in the Lord and guide people to the Lord and be great in God's kingdom and not so concerned about the world's greatness and kingdom. How does God measure greatness? Verse 35. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to be great? You want to be first, the greatest? You've got to learn to become last of all, a servant of all. We don't associate servant and greatness, do we? We usually don't associate that. You know, people don't walk into this mansion and see all these things and objects and people and look at the servant and say, oh, what a great servant you have. They talk about everything else. The servant doesn't seem to be great. You remember in John 13 when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples? Peter says, no, not mine. You better let me do it or you have no part in me. And then later on he asked the disciples when he was all done, he says, do you know what I just did? He was trying to show them, you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to bow down and serve other people. That's great. Because if you want to follow me, you'll follow me washing feet and serve the Lord. That's what you're going to do. See, the most important thing we could achieve while we're here on this earth, number one, is to be born again. And secondly, to be a part of leading others to Christ. Nothing else matters. I guarantee you that. When you die, nothing else is going to matter what you did here. God's not going to question us about anything here in life, what we achieved, what we attained, what we were, how much money we made, how we lived, nothing. It's going to all be gone. It doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. What's going to matter is what you did for the Lord. By our actions and our speech, we need to be in a position to help others come to know Christ. And if you can lead one person to Jesus through your example, through your words, through personally testifying, leading them in a prayer, whatever way, you can just be part of it or the end of it, the beginning of it. But in whatever way, if you've done that, you've done what the Lord wanted you and I to do. Just be here and be the light. Isn't that awesome? You can be great just by that. And when you get to heaven, that's what you'd be rewarded on. Wow. Not on anything here. Not on anything here. Nothing here matters. And that changed my life when I became a Christian. I says, what am I doing? Working? Living? But my heart is toward God. What's really important here? I had to let a lot of things go and say, serving the Lord. Nothing else is going to matter. What if I ran into someone in heaven that came to know the Lord through my testimony? Praise the Lord! I saved a life. I didn't, Jesus did. But I was willing to be part of that battle for souls. It's all that matters. You're great. You might be just living a normal life, but the example, the light in the house, in the neighborhood, the job, wherever, testifying of Jesus just by your lifestyle. And people see a difference and you say, what is it that you have? Why are you different? Why don't you do this and you do this? And just that is being great for the kingdom of God. Isn't that awesome? So no one can feel like a nobody in the kingdom of God as long as we're following Jesus. And we could be washing feet, serving in a restaurant. Praise the Lord. You can bless people as you deliver their food. Share the gospel. Luke 22, please. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Here we are. That's it, what they were doing. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And these kings, you know, they're ruling over the people. They exercise lordship over these people. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. And people call their kings benefactors, but really the benefactors, the kings are very hard on them sometimes. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, the one under me. And he who governs as he who serves. Be like the servant. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. People think, you know, the kings and the high place people are the ones that are great. He says, no, but that's not the way it is in my kingdom. I am among you, and I'm like the one who's doing the serving. That's where it's at. Serving other people. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Your day is coming, Christian. Serve here, be served later on. What do you want? Where do you want to be great? You may be great and achieve great things in this world, but we need to have perspective. We can't ever let it get to our head or heart. He says, be as the younger and not as the older who rules. And not if governing, then serve. Have a servant's heart. Be like the servant. Jesus is washing feet. He showed them that. And you know, I love that in Luke 22. It says, because you will be eating and drinking in my kingdom and be judging one day in that millennium when I come back to judge. Isn't that great? The tables turn later on after we leave here. We're great in his kingdom. We're the ones that are going to be blessed with all these blessings and then rule and reign then. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll have to say you were right. That's the way it is. But how we love to be honored and praised and to be popular and noticed and be greater. And this is a killer among people because people don't achieve that. They get discouraged and depressed here. The root of it, though, is this pride inside that I want to be something and I haven't achieved it. And who's the greatest? I want to be the greatest. Let's look at Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. This is what was causing their strife, pride. I want to be the greatest. And we know Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, don't be haughty or proud before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Rather than to be great here, better to be of humble spirit, identifying with the lowly people in this life. That's where God's kingdom is measured. How are we handling it there? Pride goes before destruction. Want to be the greatest? Then be the least. Become a servant. Jesus came to serve. You know, in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, we don't have to be talking about ourselves or making ourselves something or pushing ourselves to be something. And James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I'd rather be lifted up by the Lord than by man. What's more important, what does the Lord think about me? Not what does man think about me. Luke 14, chapter 14, verse 8. When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one of more honorable than you be invited by him. We did that once, I think, but then we had to be told to go back to a table more in the back. It's not very nice. So he says, when you go to a feast or a wedding, don't go right to the best seats, the places of honor, you know, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come to you and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's how we need to learn how to live. Take the lowlier spot. Don't promote ourselves. Let the Lord lift us up. See, greatness in the Lord's eyes is servanthood. Not in the world's eyes, but in the Lord's. So today, we want to know that we're great in God's kingdom. But we need to live that way. Be a servant of the Lord. And let the Lord lift us up. Don't ever feel neglected, alone, lonely, unnoticed, not necessary. You're great in God's kingdom. Always picture your father looking down and saying, great job. I love you. You're doing great. Doesn't matter if everyone's against you. It's what the Lord thinks of you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the way you measure greatness. There's no striving to achieve greatness in your sight, Lord. We are as we commit ourselves to you and follow Jesus. Lord, humble us. Create in us a clean heart. Renew in us a right spirit. Don't let us chase after that gold ring in life. Help us, Lord, to just be servants. To love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. God, we need your help. Pride is so strong. The flesh is strong. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You even said that, Jesus. Strengthen our flesh. Give us wisdom, encouragement. Lift us up, Lord, so we don't give in to the flesh. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Give us victory even today. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.